It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please won't you be my neighbor? My neighbor. In just a few minutes, I'm going to take you to a place called Planetarium. And that's a place where people know a lot about stars and moons and comets and things like that. But first, I want to show you something. You know what this is? A basket. You know what this is? That's a ball. Basket, ball. Come with me and I'll show you a real one out here. I fish, and a real good player, too.
Oh, hi, Fred.
Hi, Chuck.
Hope you don't mind my play.
Oh, I want you to use this whenever you can. You know my television neighbor.
Hi, nice to see you again.
Chuck Aber. Have you ever taught young people to play basketball?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I taught my younger brother and sister how to play.
Well, how would you start to teach somebody?
Well, with them, I started with dribbling, just bouncing the ball off the fingertips like that.
Can I try that?
Surely.
The fingertips.
Yes. Most children do that naturally because they play ball so often, you know.
But I think they probably want to learn how to.
That's the fun part. That's the fun part. And with Byron and Janice, what I did, because they were too small to shoot overhand, I taught them first to shoot underhanded with two hands, whoops, like that, so they could get it up over the rim. Want to try that?
Sure.
It's still hard. Oh, very good.
It doesn't always go in, though, does it?
No, it doesn't. It takes a lot of practice to get good at it.
Well, I know that you're good at it. You play it a lot, don't you?
Yes, I do. It's good for me. I've heard you say that you play the piano whenever you have feelings. Like if you're angry, you play the piano real hard.
Or swim hard.
Yes, exactly. Well, that's what I do with basketball. If I'm angry or frustrated, I play real hard until I get that out of my system.
Makes you feel better, doesn't it?
Yes, it surely does. It surely does.
I told Audrey Williams that I would come over to the Planetarium in just a few minutes. You know that place.
Yes, I do. She's a fine person, and that's a fascinating place. Yeah. I like to think about the sun and the moon and stars and comets, things like that.
All things up in the sky.
Yeah, it's great. Do you mind if I shoot for
you? Always welcome to.
Well, thank you very much.
Here.
Thanks.
See you soon, Chuck.
All righty. Bye for now.
Come along. This is where Audrey told us to meet her. So let's just go on in here. Hi, Audrey.
Hi, Fred. How are you today?
I'm fine, thanks.
Good.
I'd like you to know my television neighbor.
Hi.
Audrey Williams. When I was walking in here, I saw this machine and I thought it looks like a huge beetle.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But actually what it is a projector. It's called a planetarium projector.
A projector.
Right. And we call it that because it projects lights on the ceiling.
Aha. Uh-huh.
All right, and those lights look very much like the stars that you can see out in the real sky.
So the ceiling becomes your sky in here.
Right. Mm-hmm. And actually how it works is inside of these rounded ends, these giant balls, there's a giant light bulb inside. And what it does is it shines very much like how a flashlight shines through something. And what it does is if we look inside here, it shines through tiny pinpoints of light. And these tiny pinpoints of light get projected on the ceiling. All right? And they're shining through these lenses, several lenses, which are all over the ball. If you'd like to do that, if you'd like to see inside of there.
Oh, yes. That's like an eyelid, isn't it?
Right, very much like an eyelid. There's two of these balls. There's one on this end for the northern hemisphere for the stars, which we see, and for the on the other side, there's another giant ball. But let's see how it really works.
All right.
Let's go back to the console.
All right. This is very much like a theater, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I like being here. Also, a lot of children like to come here, too.
Oh, I can imagine.
This is our console.
Ooh, this looks complicated.
Well, it is. As you can see, there are an awful lot of dials and buttons and switches, and it really takes an awful lot of time to learn how to work these dials.
I guess so.
And I'm still learning how to use all these kinds of dials that work the projector out there.
But I bet you know a lot about it already.
Yeah, I do. I do. What I'm going to do right now is hit this switch over here and raise up our projector.
Oh, the big machine. It's like an elevator.
Right. It's on a big elevator that raises it up and lowers it. Now, what I'm going to do is turn these dials right here. One says latitude, and the other one says daily motion. Now, I'm just going to turn them to the right and watch what happens. You'll see it's turning toward us.
Oh, yes.
And also, at the same time, it's turning around, or turning from the east to the west, or from the left to the right. Now, in just a few seconds, I'm going to stop it from moving. Mm-hmm. And you see this dial right here?
Yes.
What it's doing is turning on the giant light bulb. And remember I talked about those giant light bulbs that are inside the big balls? Mm-hmm. Right, it just turned on the light for the bulb, and they're shining through those lenses, and they're projecting the light on the ceiling, which is actually going to look like the stars.
But I don't see any of the stars.
No, well, we can't see stars yet because we have to turn down the other bright lights that are in the planetarium. See this dial right here?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this one takes care of those lights. So why don't you turn this dial to the left?
Oh, all right.
And it'll turn down all the lights.
Oh, it's getting dark.
Mm-hmm. It takes a while for our eyes to get adjusted to the dark.
But Audrey Williams and I will be here the whole time. There's so many stars you couldn't count them.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Very beautiful. What are those bright ones there down at the bottom?
Oh, way down there. Well, let me use this giant pointer right here. And we'll use that to point to some of the stars that we can see.
What is that? It has a little arrow.
Yeah, it has. It's like a giant flashlight with an arrow that can shine up above us. And those two bright lights that you see.
Right in there, yes.
Well, these stars, this group of stars make up a constellation. And a constellation is just a group of stars that form a picture. And long ago, people thought it formed a picture of a man. And we call that, those group of stars today, we call it Orion the Hunter. These two stars make up his shoulder. These three stars are jewels in his belt that he wore.
Oh.
And these two stars are his feet.
Does he have a head?
Yeah, he has his head all the way up here. He has a very small head.
Oh, just those three little stars, his head.
Right, just these three little stars.
And his name's Orion?
Right. Mm-hmm. It's a real giant constellation that at least once a year you can see in the sky.
What's the one above it?
Well, it's a star called Aldebaran. And legend has it that it marks the eye of a bull named Taurus the Bull.
Oh.
And these stars here, notice these stars, these bright ones, they look almost like a V turned on its side. You see that?
And that's supposed to look like a bull?
Well, actually, that only looks like part of the bull, his head.
Oh.
Do you know what this is?
Is it a comet?
That's right.
I'm interested in comets. They're great big pieces of ice, aren't they?
Right. Rocky ice balls, if you want to call them that. And when they start coming real close to the sun as they're traveling around, they begin to melt and heat up. That's why we see them, because their tail and all their dust begins to stream behind them as they melt.
Aha. Are we looking at the moon now?
Yes. That's the moon up there. It's really bright, isn't it?
Yeah. It must be really close to us.
Yes, it is. It's the closest neighbor to the Earth.
In the sky.
In the sky. But when we look up in the sky, the Moon doesn't always look round. This is still the moon, but it looks different because the light is shining differently on it.
Just a part of it.
Just only a part of it.
Reflected. Huh?
Mm-hmm. It's called a crescent moon.
Crescent moon.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty, isn't it? It
certainly is.
You couldn't ever own a moon or stars or a comet or meteor or anything, could you?
No, you can't really own those objects you see out in space. One, because they're too far away, and they're also too huge, too large for us. And actually, what we see up there belongs to everybody. Let's start bringing up the lights now. You can just turn the dial to the to
the
right.
The same one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
It's pretty bright in here, huh?
It is, after it's been so dark.
Yeah, it takes a while for your eyes to get adjusted again to the light.
Uh-huh. So. Have you always been interested in such things as this?
Well, yeah, ever since I was younger, I used to look up in the sky and see the stars and the moon up there and wonder, first of all, what were they doing up there and how did they get there? And I just thought they were so beautiful that I wanted to learn a lot more about them.
Well, you've certainly taught me a lot. And I know you teach children a lot, too. Because a lot of children come to this place, don't they?
Oh, they certainly
see your shows.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much, Audrey.
Thanks for coming by, friend.
See you again. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's go back to my place. I was just thinking that people have always had to use their imaginations when they looked at the stars in the sky. Well, let's use our imaginations for the neighborhood of make-believe. Trolley? Remember what we pretended last time about King Friday's wanting everyone to celebrate all week because his comet was going to appear in the night sky? And Lady Elaine is planning a surprise birthday party for Henrietta Pussycat, who seems to be feeling low right now. So let's pretend that King Friday is trying to get Lady Aberlin to help him spread the news about the comet coming as the trolley goes by the castle in the neighborhood of Make-Believe.
Don't you think these are appropriate balloons, Niece Aberlin?
Appropriate for the comet?
Of course. Each minute that we speak, it is 1 minute closer to appearing.
How do you know that it's coming into our sky, Uncle Friday?
My astronomers have told me. Now, I have a little something I'd like you to wear as you go around giving everyone a balloon.
Oh, what is that?
Something to help put everyone in a celebrating mood. Just one moment. I will bring it to you. Ho, ho, ho. This is going to be just wonderful.
Oh, what is this?
Oh, it's a clown's hat, of course.
Well, who's going to wear it?
Well, you are, of course.
But why should I wear a clown's hat?
Well, we need balloons and clowns to celebrate my comet's coming.
I'd rather not.
But I would rather. Now try on the hat, Niece Aberlin. Now smile.
Why?
Because a celebrating clown should be smiling. Very good. Now you may go and give the balloons to all the lucky people who are my subjects. And remember, everyone must celebrate. Everyone must be happy. After all, Friday's comet is coming.
But Uncle Friday...
No buts about it, Niece Aberlin. On your way rejoicing.
Well, I guess when you have a job to do, you just do it. Corny, cornflake especially.
Why, Lady Evelyn, you're just the person I wanted to see.
Well, here I am.
You have the balloons?
I do. Would you like one?
That would be fine if you put it right over there. Oh, thank you. King Friday said you'd be looking like a clown. You're a very pretty clown, Lady Evelyn.
Oh, well, thank you. Did Uncle Friday say anything else to you?
Yes, he wants me to give you the things I've been making for him.
Oh? What things?
Just more things to give away. Celebrating the comet's coming, you know.
I see. I know.
I'll get them. Excuse me a minute.
Something else now. What am I to do with these?
Well, just give them out along with the balloons, I guess.
Oh, this is getting to be a regular circus.
Oh, no, just a celebration.
Next thing, there'll probably be a blimp.
Yes, I think King Friday did order one of those, too. In fact, there it is now. Just look up there.
Coming soon. Friday's comet. Well, I'll say one thing for Uncle Friday. When he sets his mind to something, he goes the whole way.
I'll say. I wonder what Lady Elaine thinks about it all.
I'm going to find out.
Thanks for your help, Lady Evelyn.
We all do what we have to do.
I'll say. Well, I'll see you.
Bye, Corny.
Bye.
Oh, you do good work.
Oh, thanks.
I just don't believe it. I mean, he's gone too far this time. That Friday, he's gonna get it.
Lady Elaine?
What are you all dressed up for?
I'm delivering pennants and balloons. We're all supposed to be happy and celebrate.
The only thing I'm going to celebrate is Henrietta's birthday, and that's a surprise.
How about a pennant and a balloon?
For Friday's comet?
That's right.
Forget it.
What do you mean?
Nobody can own a comet. Nobody can own a star. Nobody can own a sun or a moon or the sky. So there you are.
Where am I?
You're going to help me plan Henrietta's birthday party surprise and forget about Friday's comet.
But what will he say?
Don't worry about that. I have everything under control.
Well...
Oh, look who's coming. Chuck Aber.
Oh, good day, Chuck Aber.
And a spectacular day to you, ladies.
And what have you been playing?
Well, you put this in a basket, and that's what it's called.
Ball in a basket?
Oh, basketball, Lady Elaine.
Oh, you learn something new every day.
And something old.
Mm-hmm. You look very happy.
Oh, yes. I'm celebrating.
Did you win a game?
Well, no, we didn't win. As a matter of fact, we lost.
Well, then, why are you so happy?
Because our team played better than we've ever played before, even though we didn't win. We really tried hard and made some very good plays. Don't you think that's a lot to celebrate?
You've got a point there, Toots.
How about a pennant and a balloon for your celebration?
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
What's all this... Friday's comet business.
Oh, boy. Uncle Friday is expecting...
Don't worry with him with those details, Eberlin. Now, you know Henrietta Pussycat, don't you, Chuck?
Oh, I certainly do. She's my favorite pussycat in the world.
Good. Will you help us make a surprise birthday party for her?
Of course. When is it?
In a couple days.
Good. Yeah, how can I help?
Just talk with her and see what she might like for a party.
Find out what she'd like.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
But remember, it's supposed to be a surprise.
Okay, well, I'll go do that now, then.
And I'll go distribute more pennants and balloons.
I tell you, you're not going to need them. Oh, excuse me, that's my Planet Purple call. I've got to go to the phone. See you all.
See you later,
Lady
Elaine.
Lady Elaine.
Well, I don't know what she's planning, but I've got to do what Uncle Friday asked me to do.
What is all this about a comet?
Oh, Friday's comet. Uncle Friday is expecting Friday's comet. He has named it for himself, to appear in our night sky sometime this week. Uh-huh. And he insists that everyone be happy and celebrate about it.
Ah, well, that's the reason for the balloons and pennant then, huh?
And the blimp.
This is serious celebrating, isn't it?
It is for Uncle Friday, but Lady Elaine won't have anything to do with it. She says we're to celebrate Henrietta's birthday, and that's it.
Why can't we do both?
I hope we can.
Well, I'll go talk to Hen now, then.
All right. I'll see you later.
Good. Henrietta. Henrietta Pussycat. Oh, hello, X. I was just calling Henrietta.
I know. I just thought I should tell you about her.
Is she all right?
I don't know what you mean by all right, Mr. Aber. I just know that she doesn't want to play, and she doesn't want to talk much at all, and she seems sort of sad. Is that all right, or is that all left?
Oh, sounds like a little of each to me.
Incidentally, have you been swimming?
Oh, no, I've been playing basketball.
Oh, I bet you're good at that.
Getting better every day.
That's something to be happy about, isn't it?
Oh, it certainly is, and I am happy about it, too.
Maybe you can help my neighbor feel happier about herself.
Do you know about the surprise birthday party for her?
Lady Elaine told me.
Meow, you're whispering, meow. Oh,
Henrietta, you're just the one I came to see.
Meow, swimming?
X just asked me the same thing. No, I've been playing basketball.
Meow, meow, play well?
I did today.
Meow, meow, do anything, meow.
You don't feel that you do anything well?
Meow.
I'll see you all later. I get sad when I hear Hen talk like that.
Meow, see.
See what?
Meow, meow, away.
Oh, but he likes you, Henrietta.
Meow wouldn't. Meow why?
Is there something you want to talk about with me?
Meow.
Hey, did you know that you are my favorite pussycat in the whole world?
Meow, just saying that.
Well, I am saying it, and I'm meaning it, too.
Meow, nothing special, meow, meow, me.
Well, you may not feel very special right now, but I think you are.
Meow, meow.
And I could use your help with something, too.
Meow? Mm-hmm.
If you were going to have a party for somebody, what would you have at that party?
Oh, meow, 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 good, meow, meow, eat.
Food?
Meow, friends.
Friends?
Meow, 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 sing songs.
Music, okay.
Meow, give meow, meow, presents.
Presents? Presents, huh? What kinds of presents?
Pretty meow.
Pretty things. You like pretty things, don't you?
Meow.
But you don't feel very pretty right now, hmm?
Meow.
Would you mind if I sang a song for you?
Meow.
Just because I want to.
Yeah, okay.
You are pretty. You are nice. You are beautifully dressed in lovely fur. Finely curved. Perfectly you are pretty. Elegant. You are nice.
Yeah, sing pretty.
Oh, well, thank you. And I mean what I sing, too.
Meow. Meow better meow going, meow.
Oh, you have things to do, huh?
Meow. Meow, meow, don't want meow, meow outside meow long.
You don't want to be outside too long? Well, why?
Meow, meow, king's rule.
What rule?
Meow have to celebrate.
Celebrate his comet's coming?
Meow.
Oh. Well.
Meow don't want to do that, meow.
You don't?
Meow, meow, hard meow celebrate.
Yeah, well, I understand, but I hope that before long you'll feel you have something to celebrate, my friend.
Meow. Meow, 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 song.
Oh, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. And no matter how you feel, You're still a very special pussycat to me.
Meow.
Bye-bye, Henrietta.
Meow.
How did it go?
I think it's hard to celebrate when you don't feel so good about yourself.
Oh. And it's hard when someone tells you you have to celebrate.
That's for sure. But I do have some ideas for Lady Elaine.
Oh, good. And I have some more deliveries to make for Uncle Friday.
Speedy delivery.
I wish.
Bye.
Bye. Want one? Oh, the tunnel. Oh, I know what you mean.
Did you ever feel like Henrietta? When somebody tells you you have to celebrate, you have to be happy, and you just don't feel that way, that can make you feel all the worse. Well, Charles R. Aber was feeling very good, though. He said that his team didn't win the game, but they played better than they had ever played before, and he was celebrating that. Did you ever know anyone to lose a game and celebrate because they had played so well? Celebrate trying? It's a good idea, don't you think? I think so. Always gives me a good feeling to know that we'll be back together again next time. It's such a good feeling to know you're alive. It's such a happy feeling. You're growing inside, and when you wake up, ready to say, I think I'll make a snappy new day. It's such a good feeling, a very good feeling, the feeling you know that I'll be back when the day is new, and I'll have more ideas for you, and you'll have things you'll want to talk about. I will too. And next time, we'll be able to meet Wynton Marsalis, the wonderful trumpeter. Basketball today, Wynton Marsalis next time. Bye-bye.
People who gave the money to make Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood are the people of this and other public television stations and the Sears Roebuck Foundation.